Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast, where we will be discussing the hot mess express that is 90 Day Fiancé. I am your conductor and host, Puyazan Vakili. Very excited to talk to you about all the things that go on in this incredibly ridiculous world we call the 90 Day Fiancé franchise. Now, today, we're going to be catching up with 90 Day Fiancé the other way before we turn this wrap up into a one-stop shop of both Happily Ever After and The Other Way per week in one podcast. But this is not an easy feat to do because we've got about 9 episodes worth of content to catch up on. So I had to bring the big guns. I had to bring 2 people to help me get through this. And they are both new voices within the RHAP community. I'm happy to introduce them. First, I'm going to go and introduce, we've got ourselves, Daniel Kennedy is here. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Puya. How are you?
I am doing magnificent. And I'm glad to be here for your debut on RHAP, man.
I know. I'm excited. I'm so excited to talk about the mess that is the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, and especially The Other Way.
Especially The Other Way. Yeah. Liana was not happy that she didn't get to talk about The Other Way.
But The Other Way is the prime example of why 90 Day Fiancé is just absolute TV gold. It's incredible.
It really is. And we are not alone. We've got one other person here with us ready to dive into all the things 90 Day Fiancé. We've got Sam Parker with us. Sam, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. Very well. Very stoked to dive into all this mess. So Sam, let's ask you first, what is your relationship with 90 Day Fiancé? How did you discover this show?
So 90 Day Fiancé was always something that my mom kind of had on in the house. I never really paid attention to it. And then when I moved out on my own, like 3 years ago, our relationship wasn't the best, but I always remembered she loved 90 Day Fiancé. So I watched a few seasons. I would talk to her on the phone about it. We would joke about it. And then I kind of got sucked in from there. So it was like all, you know, down the rabbit hole of Reddit. Now watching, I think I'm like a few seasons in of every different iteration of 90 Day. It's been a journey, and quarantine has definitely helped.
Quarantine really has helped. I feel like quarantine has been the best spot to start a franchise like this, because we're in a position where it's never going to end now. It's going to be a cycle. There's always going to be new versions of the show coming out. It's almost going to be a 365-day event, I feel like. But Daniel, what about you? When did you discover? What's your 90-day story?
Yeah, similarly with quarantine was sort of my jumpstart to it. When COVID was going on, my boyfriend and I decided it would be best to move from where we were to his family's house to just bunker in for quarantine. And his mom is a huge 90 Day Fiancé fan, and it was just always on every single night. So I started with 90 days before the 90 days. Mm. And of course, this past season was insane. So I got hooked and went back and watched as much content as possible. So I binged it for pretty much the past 3 or 4 months now, and now we're here at The Other Way. That's just as crazy and good.
Yeah, it is. I also started my journey with the before the 90 days. That was my introduction into the show, and then I went back and caught up with everything But like you mentioned, 90 Day Fiancé the Other Way has been an incredible hot mess. And for those of you who are tuning in, I might not be familiar with the premise of The Other Way specifically. So the way 90 Day Fiancé the Other Way works is we're going through, we're looking at couples like every other 90 Day franchise. But the difference here is that the American partner of the couple is going to be going over and moving abroad to the country of the other partner. So we have people going to Colombia. We have someone who's in India right now, Ethiopia. There's people going all across the world to be with their loved ones that are not going to be going to the United States. So this is their stories. This is what we're learning here. And we have six couples to talk about today. And I would like to open the floor up to Sam, if you would do the honors of which couple would you like us to talk about first?
Let's go with the couple that has been on our screen for the longest. It's Jenny and Sumit. They're up first.
They are up first. Yeah, tell us. Tell us what you think about them.
So they break my heart in a way that I don't quite understand, because just from the jump, you know, when we met Jenny back in season one and we hear that, you know, Sumit catfished her. Now she's moving to India. She doesn't really know, you know, the culture, the language. She's going to really depend on this guy that she doesn't know if she can really trust. Just seeing that, you think like, wow, that's not a good idea. And then we watched, you know, the process of her moving over there, being so happy with Sumit. And then the train wreck starts. And then I don't know why this one in particular tugged at my heartstrings, but just watching Jenny go through everything that happens at the end of last season, it just really, really made me sad. I don't know why, though, because you saw it coming. And it wasn't like they didn't give you those little breadcrumbs as we went through. Like, you know, like the first few episodes, you see that Sumit's parents don't approve of Jenny. They don't know Jenny's coming. She's a big secret. It's all lies. And then the lies just keep building until the end of the season. When we get to the point where there's just an ambush and, you know, we find out that Sumit's been married this entire time, which to like, I should have seen it coming, but that also blew my mind. It was like, oh my God, he's actually married. Cause you know, you watch these shows and you speculate and you're like, okay, well, you know, are they hiding something? What are they hiding? Do they have a secret family? And like, you always have these like jokes in the back of your head of like, what could happen? And then I think for once, the worst case scenario actually did come true. Like, he's married, he has a wife somewhere, his family found out about this, the wife's family found out, and they basically came and just like got Sumit, like an angry crowd just came and took him away. And then she had to move back to America, which was insane to watch. I couldn't imagine that level of culture shock of like, you're a secret and you know you're a secret, but then this angry mob just shows up at your apartment.
To me, the story should have ended with, oh, the guy I was talking to is catfishing me and it's not who I thought it was. That should have been the end of this story. But for some reason, Jenna was like, oh, no, you know what? Actual Sumit is actually really cute. I'm gonna shoot my shot here. Daniel, what has been your thought on Sumit and Jenny going through this season now that they're back?
Right. I mean, first of all, I agree with you. It should have ended with, I mean, if it didn't end with the catfishing, it definitely should have ended with him being married and his entire family ambushing her and his wife's family ambushing her as well. Like, all of that is just a complete chaotic mess. But yet, Jenny, which I now find almost endearing, is just pushing the limits of how far she can extend her love for somebody, which I... Like Sam, my heart is being torn because the rational side of me is like, Jenny, like, just find the guy in the States or like find someone else from a different country. Like, anybody else, Jenny, come on, Jenny. Like, you can do this. And I think something that is so interesting too is that she is someone who is older. Like, she's 61 years old and she is going this hard, this not late in her life, but at this later stage in her life. It really reminds me of David from Before the 90 Days and how his journey to find Lana, right? And you just oh, he's not telling the truth.
The elusive Lana.
Yeah, the elusive Lana. And you know she's not there. You know she's not there. And then she is. And you're like, wait, he was right the whole time? And that's how I feel about Jenny at this point. This season, she's going back. And to what we know, Sumit is doing everything right. He has filed for divorce already. He is protecting her. He's showing her around India. He's getting her to meet all of his friends, although his family and friends don't support her. It's really endearing to me that he is at least putting in this huge effort now to prove his love for Jenny. And I don't know if there's any ulterior motives to it. There might not be, but it's 90 Day Fiance, so there probably is.
Yeah, it's very hard for me with Jenny and Sumit, because this was a couple I was straight up rooting for in the first season of The Other Way. And then with all the mess that went down with the families confronting her and Trojan horsing their house and taking Sumit away, that wasn't great. I didn't like that. I didn't like that we found out he was married. That's like just deceptive. Mm-hmm. But then she clearly is giving him a second chance. You know, you can't help who you love. And clearly she loves this man because she goes back. And the thing is, though, she wants proof that, hey, I know, like, you have to show me the divorce documents. I need to see them. And we see that Sumit keeps putting this off until his friend basically says, you need to do this for her. It's wrong of you not to. And then they go to this lawyer who ends up saying, yeah, so divorces could take up 2 to 5 years or whatever, but they're fine. This is going to be okay. We'll see where it goes from here, gang. My whole worry, mm-hmm. though, is that we're going to end the season with Jenny still not getting what she wants and Sumit just not, you know, really doing what he needs to do, which is, he needs to get the blessing from his parents, because I'm pretty sure we found out now that they need to approve this wedding for them to be able to get married. So he needs to put in the work. And from what we've seen so far, he's being very avoidant on talking to his parents about anything with relations to Jenny. He's avoiding it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like this is going to go downhill really fast. And we're probably going to see a third season of Jenny, you know, moving back to India and doing this all over again. Because no, just watching her through the last, I guess, season and the last few episodes, she does want to get married. It doesn't sound like it's in the cards for a few years. And I don't know how the visa process works or what kind of visa she's over there on. But if it can't last for the 2 to 5 years before they can get married. I don't know of any visa that lasts that long.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to understand that too, but I also don't know how the culture in India is when it comes to marriage. So for me to say, oh, the divorce should have happened already, like that's easy for us to say that are in America. But in mm-hmm. India, that process could be a thing. And we've already heard Sumit say, like, I don't want to be with this woman. I didn't want to be married to this woman. I'm trying to get a divorce. Like, this is the way my culture is, so I did it. But now I'm free and choosing to be with Jenny. But it's harder than that. It's beyond love for Jenny at this point. It's love for your family, love for your culture, love for your environment. So, I mean, I think I'm rooting for them. At this point, I'm rooting for them. But I'm waiting for something to happen. I think there's one final dagger that has to happen, and then mm-hmm. that will be the end all be all, whether they are going to be together forever or Jenny's going to come back home heartbroken.
Yeah. And I think that dagger is the parents. I do think that they have to approve of this. Just based on what I've understood from the conversations on the show, they have to sign off on it for them to legally be married, is what I understood. And I do think that this is probably the hardest thing about The Other Way, because with the 90 day regular or the before the 90 day, we know what the process is. We know what the K-1 visa looks like. We know what the rigmarole is, how long a divorce would take, how long a marriage would take, what it requires. Whereas with India, I'm speaking on these things without having 100% accuracy, because it sounds like Sumit and his ex-wife or soon to be ex-wife both have a mutual separation, which is making the process faster. But if one of them didn't really want that, it would have taken up to 5 years. So that's good, but there's no solid timeline on any of this. I think we'll see at some point, I'm sure, we're going to find out what happens between Sumit, Jenny, and the parents, and then we'll go from there. So right. I think that's about it on what I have to say about Jenny and Sumit. Do either of you have any parting words for the beloved couple residing in India before we move on?
No, I think we said it, and good luck to them.
Yeah, good luck to them. All right, Daniel, who would you like to spread good luck to next? Who are you picking next to talk about here?
I think for me, this is the couple that I have the most attachment to, being a gay man myself. I'd love to talk about Kenny and Armando.
Yes, please.
So this is a new couple to the show, season two. Kenny is the one living in America in Florida. His story is that he came from Iowa, Midwestern family, moved to Florida at a very, very young age and came out as gay almost immediately. And his entire life, he has been openly gay, has children. His life has been pretty much normal in that aspect. But through the 90 Day Fiancé franchise, of course, there's a twist, and he is dating Armando, who he met through a single gay parent's Facebook page.
Yeah.
And Kenny has now made the trip to Mexico to live with Armando for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. And can I just quickly talk about this? Kenny is 57. Kenny does not look a day past 29 to me.
No.
Wow. Wow.
Not at all. No, he looks great. When he said that he was 57, I was like, no, he's not. Like, I thought he was 30. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
No, it's
my
crazy.
My jaw on the ground. It's so crazy. Sam, how have you been enjoying seeing Kenny and Armando on the show?
So I might be making an unpopular opinion, but I don't like them. I know it's very unpopular, but here's my thing. They're too like roses and sunshine right now. And as we know through the 90 Day Fiancé thing, not many couples come out of this like clean. Like there's going to be something. And with the way their storyline is playing out where it's, you know, it's all lovey-dovey, it's adorable, everybody loves them. We're almost to be halfway through the season. So we're going to hit some, like, huge bombshell that completely blows up the relationship. We're just waiting on it. It's like the...
Right.
Moving to Mexico, we already see the cracks forming. It's like the fuse has already been lit. So we're going to get something huge in the future, I feel like. So that's why I don't like them. Because I'm trying not to put all my eggs in a basket with them.
Right.
There's got to be something.
Right. And I think, too, and this is something I think you both can relate to for watching 90 Day Fiancé, you go into a season thinking, oh, this is the good couple. This is the one that of all the mess, you can at least rest knowing that this is the couple that is going to be great. And it's going to be relief from watching the rest of the cast. You're going to enjoy watching their story and it's going to be a good ending. But it always happens in 90 Day Fiancé that something happens and you just hate them by the end of it. And that's really my feelings about Kenneth right now. Like, he is someone who I loved. He was my favorite one on the show, like through episodes 1 through 7. And in episode 8, I'm starting to get a little weary of him. By episode 9, just because Armando is not out to his family and has tried to come out to his family and they reject him. His dad is not happy about this. His mom has continuously cried about it, has heard him in the past about this. His sister has heard him in the past about this. He has such a complicated past with the mother of his daughter passing almost immediately after he told her that he was gay. Like, Armando's life is so tragic and so painful for him, and he's still processing it. He is only 33. Mm-hmm. Kenny has this whole life that he has lived already, that he has been a happily gay man. And so now they're together, and you saw it in this last episode where Kenny was trying to hold Armando's hand, and Armando is like, I don't feel comfortable. Like, he was looking around, and like, I relate to that. When I was younger and I was first coming out, I didn't want my partner at the time to hold my hand because I was afraid someone would see us. Like, it's so fresh and new for Armando that, especially with the child involved now and being in Mexico where there is that macho culture, that I'm nervous that Kenny is not going to be as sensitive to this and Armando might just get too scared and run away. And I wouldn't blame him if Kenny continues to push him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that for me, this is, you nailed it on the head for me. This is the couple that I'm, quote, rooting for. It's like the good couple. It's like the rootable couple. But the last couple episodes have not been a good look for Kenny. I do think Kenny's coming off as, hey, I moved, therefore I deserve to be able to have more sway in some decisions here,
yes,
which I don't necessarily think should be the case. And by putting this unnecessary pressure on Armando, I feel like that's just going to be strenuous to the relationship, because you get to be with your partner every day now. So like, if he doesn't feel comfortable holding your hand in public, you're going to cuddle at night. You know what I mean? Like, so there's part of me that's like, he's not comfortable being expressive yet. He'll get there at some point on his own pace. Don't force him. And I do think that the one funny scene they had was when Kenny straight up was like, what do they serve at this restaurant? Like, I'm sorry, Mexican food because you're in Mexico? Like, I love that the other person at the restaurant was like, did you really ask that, man? Is that what you just said?
Right.
Yeah, I think that they are probably the tamest of the six couples as far as any drama right now goes. But I do think that if we focus on the Kenny edit, we'll see in the coming episodes that Kenny's going to have a rough time of both not being able to be as open and as affectionate as he likes to be in his relationships in public. And also, I think he's going to have a rough go at it when they go to meet the parents, mm-hmm. which is coming up.
Oh, yeah. And that's going to be a big battle. And I'm not sure where the edit is going to go with that. I can see it going two ways. I can see it. Worst news is that it's rejection. And Armando now has to come to a decision where what's best for him in his life. Can it be a separation from his family for a short time? Or the edit is leading towards a reconciliation with his father, which I think that's where this is going to go. I think his father is going to be supportive of his son being happy. And again, this is one of the first times we've ever seen a same-sex couple on the show. I mean, I know we've had it recently on Before the 90 Days, but this is the first time that I've seen a gay couple in a long time on 90 Day Fiancé, if my memory can serve me right ever.
No, you're right.
So yeah. I don't know. It's such a complicated issue, because same-sex relationships, even in America, are hard to manage with societal issues, let alone in another country. So we're hitting a lot of LGBTQ plus issues on 90 Day Fiancé that we haven't been able to tackle before. And I think TLC has to edit it in a way that's slow rolling and basic level. How do we accept somebody? How can we hold hands in public? Where to where straight couples may not have that problem, especially in other countries.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And like the other thing we have to see too coming up is there's a daughter involved. Armando's daughter is going to come live with them in a week's time. They keep saying on the show, it'll probably be in a few episodes, but there's a child involved too. So who knows what's going to happen? Is there going to be issues with how, you know, Kenny decides to take care of the daughter? Maybe he's a more strict parent. Maybe he's a more lax parent, and that conflicts with how Armando parents. So there's like a whole like third dimension to this, not just the family, not just the LGBTQ issues, but now we have a daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
It just makes it so much more complex. And if the relationship fails, it'll be devastating for Armando in a way that I don't think I'm emotionally ready to see.
Right. I agree.
I'm very much rooting for them. And hopefully they overcome the obstacles there. I do think seeing how they interact with the daughter in the mix is one. I think that Kenny is clearly like not quite happy with how far away they live. So we'll see if that gets reopened to talk about. Ultimately, I think out of the six, I feel most comfortable in saying that this is probably the most well-adjusted of the couples. And given that we still have some stuff to say about them, it's a little concerning, but I think if anyone can get through this, I'm hoping it's Kenny and Armando, personally.
Right. And in the 90 Day universe, if this is like, this is really, really good. Them having these issues is still very good compared to a lot of other couples that we've seen on the show. Like, at least they are both the people who they're saying they are, that there are no like hidden like mafia members. Like, they are very good in my book. Like, they are the most rootable by far compared to like a lot of other franchises where I've seen people like, at least they exist.
And compared to some that are on this cast, dare I say.
Yes.
We're going to get.
Yes.
Four. Yeah. So if anyone has anything else about Armando and Kenny, now is the time. Otherwise, I would like to nominate the next couple we talk about.
Go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to jump right into it. I have some things to say. This is the most like, how are you even thinking it's going to work out? I want to talk about Brittany and Yasin. Allow me to set this up for y'all. So Yasin is Jordanian, lives in the Middle East. Brittany is a quote rapper from the USA.
Quote.
And Brittany, yeah. Brittany does her own thing. She dances to the beat of her own drum. She's a confident person. Love all of that. Yasin works at the fish market and he wants to get married with Brittany. They met over Skype one time. He invited her over. She's been there. They've hit it off. And now she's coming back and they're going to talk potential marriage. Here, there are a couple of situations here that are not great for this setup. Number one, Yasin wants Brittany to convert to Islam because he believes, and his family has now confirmed since we've watched this nine episodes in, that they want her to convert before they get married. That is a thing they want. They want her to wear the hijab. They want her to, you know, no drinking, no pork, full like dressing in the traditional garb, all of that for Brittany. Again, the rapper from USA, who if she's into it, I'm all in, you know, for sure. It's very clear that she does not want that at all. She did it one time. She wore it one time to appease the parents, but doesn't want to do it again. She lands in Jordan, goes for a hug to a production member. A bottle of tequila is exposed. Yasin loses his mind. They argue. And there's just been no point, gang, in this entire nine episode arc where I'm like, oh, you guys are going to work this out. They clearly want different things. She is still married and has not gone through a divorce to even be in this marriage. And that's why she's continuously pushing away, which Liana has given me this information based on Reddit sleuthing. She's been in the her former husband or her current husband documentally is she's coming from an abusive relationship. So she's not had a tough time confronting this man to get the divorce. So that's why she's been avoiding this for a long time, which completely makes sense.
Yeah.
And then to have her move to this foreign country and then get berated by the parents, especially the mom, I thought was very harsh on her for no real reason. And they want her to be the obedient housewife is kind of the gender role that they're trying to push her into. And just by first glance, you can tell Brittany is not about that life at all. So I clearly have some thoughts on this. I come from the Middle East. I was born and raised in Dubai. So I definitely have seen my fair share of this mentality. I'm not about it. So I'm going to remove myself for a hot second and I'm going to pass it over to Sam. Sam, tell me about Brittany and Yasin. What do you feel about them?
They are the biggest train wreck I think we've seen in a while. I really can't remember any train wreck that like within like the first 3 seconds, I was like, yeah, this isn't working. I don't think we've seen a couple like that for a while. Just like in her intro, she's twerking and rapping on like an expensive car. Like within literally the first 5 seconds, if you've seen the intro for her segment on the first episode, you'd see they're not a good match. I mean, maybe over Skype, they're a good match just conversationally. But, you know, the reality of it is if it works, I'll be very, very shocked.
Same.
It just and it makes me almost sad for the both of them because they want it to work so bad. But, you know, she's the American. And that's kind of getting in her way of like conforming to Yazan's culture. And it could work. It definitely could. But she's not willing to take the steps to even slightly marry the cultures. You know, she always brings up the fact that she's American. She's got nobody in Jordan. And like, it's true. But if you keep harping on the fact that you're the American, it doesn't work out. And that's what a lot of couples end up doing. She's kind of playing the role, which is played almost every single season, of the American who does not want their partner to forget that they're American. Like just the aggressively American person.
Right. I think for Brittany, if there's, I always see on every season, there's at least one person that you know is there, not because they want to get married, but because they want to be on television. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Brittany is at with this. Like, I don't think anybody who really is logically thinking about the situation, if you are Brittany and you're someone who loves someone and you are willing to move to their country, I would at least assume that you would have to at least somewhat like assimilate to what their culture is. They're not, and I don't think that Yasin's family isn't asking for like too much compared to what their culture is. Now, do I agree with it? Yeah, it's what they expect. Like, do I agree with it? No, but I don't live in Jordan. Like, that's not my life, so I don't care. Like, for Brittany, it's like she knew that this is not going to work. She's still married to her ex, and that is like a bad situation. I agree, but it's just one of those things where she goes in and she's honestly like, I get why she's upset. They're yelling around her. She doesn't know what's going on, but you know that like her energy is harsh. Her energy is like, she's going in and she's going hard, and she understands that this is a weird relationship, but she's going to go for it and go hard for it. I'm rooting for her to find her own happiness, but I don't believe it belongs in this relationship because she knows it's not going to work. So either he is wasting her time and promising her all these things off camera, which I do believe could be a thing, because she seemed way too confident in this relationship to go into this already arguing. Or she's going into this thinking, you know what, this might not work, but this could be a really cool opportunity for me. She's one where it was the opposite of Kenny. I did not like her at first. I thought she was doing this for the wrong things. But now that she's actually in Jordan and she is there and like wearing a hijab and asking people like, oh, like, can we have more time? I do want to get married to this guy, but I don't want to lose the part of myself that I love. I am rooting for her. I think that she was unfairly treated, but she also is refusing to give anything up. So yeah, it's hard. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing for me is that, you know, having come from a background like that, where I have seen families, I've seen friends who genuinely follow that mentality, follow that part of the culture. There are obviously, like, I'm one that doesn't follow that culture really, but I've seen it. So I understand what is expected there. My thing with Brittany is that, how can you have not seen that this is the direction it's going? And I think through the 9 episodes, even the biggest evidence coming in the last episode when they sat down with Yasin's uncle, where the uncle clearly understands what's going on and it's not being communicated. Like, even when he's talking about Brittany and then Yasin's translating it, her response is, so is he going to talk to your dad? And like, they've been talking about more than just that. It's not all being translated to her. She doesn't really know what she's getting into here. I think that I do think that the whole like behind the scenes conversation that you alluded to could be a thing, because I could totally see Yasin saying, you know, just move here, we'll be together. And now she's there and now there's more pressure to like really change it up, you know, really like you gotta like, because like that's the thing is that, if she comes in and she's like, oh, I know, you know, I knew I was expected to convert and like I have to put this part of my life behind me and I want to do it, that's fine. I do not remember her name from the last Before the 90 Day, the girl who wanted to move to Syria with her husband.
Oh, oh. God, what's her name? Yes, I know who you're talking.
They all mesh in together after a while. Let me see if I can quickly pick it up.
Was that Laura?
Was it Laura? It could have been. Rebecca was not her, but Rebecca was on that season. So that's who I'm thinking of right now, which is not great. But so for me, the reason I'm bringing that up is that she wanted to Avery. Was it Avery? It was Avery. Might have been Avery. But she was a person who she knew what she was signing up for. She was happy to and. She wanted to embrace that lifestyle, that the religion, the culture. She wanted all of that. So she knew what she wanted and she knew what she was signing up for. I like that. I feel like Brittany can see what she's being expected of and she doesn't want it. But it's very clear that they either have to hit a compromise or it's not going to work. And neither of them are budging. He wants her to convert 110% and she wants to not convert 110%. So there's no middle ground here that'll make anyone happy, I feel like.
Right. Right. It's I think of all of them, this is probably the messiest couple, just because like we've only seen 3 days of their meeting, like not meeting, of their like official coming together in his country in Jordan. And there have been 9 episodes of content and they've been on every single episode. So to have that much content fit into, because 90 Day Fiancé, they love to drag out storylines because they want to fill up. They want to drag stuff out. And with them, like they have so much stuff, like they could have full episodes on just them because like every day is insane for them. So I don't know. I have absolutely no faith that they are going to work out, but I believe like the signs point to a breakup. But I do think the behind the scenes conversations, the stuff that we're not seeing, is the reason that this is still even alive in the first place. Because we see her going in and she's checking into a hotel first and she's like, oh, you got to bring in my bags. You got to do all this stuff. And then after they meet the parents, her luggage is still in the car. Like episode 9, she hasn't even unpacked yet. We're on episode 9. We are halfway through the season. She still has not even unpacked. And then she goes into this luxurious apartment and all the roses are on the bed and a heart, you know, like she's about to get pampered. Like, oh, you did this for me. Maybe I could stay here. I think signs are pointing to, yes, I'm promising her a lot of things that he can, like maybe he can provide, but it's not, he cannot overcome the family and cultural issues that they're about to go through.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to go move away from the values and the culture that represent his family. And he's not like, he's not willing to even go part with it enough ways to be with Brittany. If Brittany, it's for him, I believe it's all about if Brittany wants to be with me, not if we want to be together or if I want to be with Brittany. It's specifically if she wants to be with me, she has to do this stuff, which is asking a lot, especially when she moved for you. I feel like she moved for you. Talk about what your compromise is and let's meet in the middle. But it's not going to happen.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if the uncle has some superpowers. He seemed really chill. We'll see if the uncle can fix it. But really, it's a lost cause for me, Seth.
Yeah, I agree.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, Sam, give us the next couple. Give us the next couple here.
All right. They're my favorite couple, probably. I would think of recent seasons. Recent seasons seem to be, it's all smushing together anyway. But it's Devin and Jihoon. They're at the top of my list. Wow. Right next to Paul and Karini of like favorite couples of all time. But Devin and Jihoon have a very interesting story where they met on some online dating app for international dating. They met each other. He flew out to come see her in Salt Lake City, Utah. They spent like a week together and she got pregnant. So, you know, they just met each other. Now there's a baby. But he did like the really adorable, wholesome thing of like, let's make it work. Let's get married. Let's go through the process of having like a family together, which was really cute. But as you start digging through like who he is and his background, he's kind of painted in a very unfavorable light of he has fines because he was a Was he arrested? He was arrested, I think, for selling stolen phones. he's seen as lazy because he doesn't really want to get a job and do the whole grown-up thing, but he's telling Devin every day that, you know, they're going to be together, they're going to have a family. Devin has her own child with another man whose name is Drusilla, who's like painted as a wild child. Every scene that we see with her, even in this season, she's on top of a table, she's running around screaming. And Devin's just a single mom who's trying to keep it all together and be with the guy she loves. And throughout the first season, we see the whole storyline was they need to get married. They need to get approval from the family. So his parents come over from South Korea. They go through the whole process of showing the parents to Las Vegas, because I guess that's the most American thing on the West Coast they could think of showing them, which I love. Like, you couldn't have gone to, like, anywhere in California, you had to go to Las Vegas. And it wasn't even warm. It was like the middle of the winter, because I vividly remember them being on like a double-decker tour bus in like winter coats. they're the people I root for, because I think, you know, when push comes to shove, they really do love each other, even though this season it's all based around the fact that Ji-hoon is lazy and didn't save up enough money, which I don't know. It could be just a culture issue. He does have a lot of debt from the fines he racked up when he was arrested. So I don't know. They're my favorite because, you know, they really both just wanted to work, but they have so many barriers, like the culture, like the language. They don't even fluently speak each other's languages, which is another very common trope on the show. So they're translating through this little like egg thing where you talk into it and it translates it to another language. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I have a very different take about how I feel about them. Just because I think Ji-hoon is ridiculous. I think if you do love someone in that aspect, right, and you really want what's best for them, he should have just let her stay in the States and he could have saved more money. But he has said time and time again, selfishly, I lied to you because I love you and I want you to be here. That's, to me, that's not cute. That's manipulative. Like, he's been lying to his parents. He's been lying to Devin. My favorite character of this entire series is Devin's mom. She cracks me up every time she is on a scene. Like, the first time when they're in a car and they're driving through like the alleys and she's screaming because she thinks she's gonna die, and she's talking about how run down the entire country is and she just stepped foot off the plane. I think she's hysterical and loony. But I almost feel so bad for Devin. I mean, this isn't a spoiler. We've seen this at the very beginning of the first episode of the season. Devin's in Korea during COVID. So we know that she's staying. We know that she is there. And I have no clue why she's still there. Even after we've seen every episode where things are just going bad, bad, bad. He's lying to you. You can't afford anything. Like, she was the one who got the apartment in Korea. So, Ji-hoon's mom is like, oh, this place is really bad. Why did you pick this place? And it's like, because, well, how would she know if a place in Korea is bad? He would have known this if he had actually helped pick it out, but he didn't. She did all the work. So I don't know. I think that he is just emotionally way too immature for her. Like, and I understand that it's complicated because they do have a child together now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only reason that she's there, is because she needs help taking care of now her second child and their child together. But it's just such a complicated thing where I think his parents really like Devin, but don't understand why she's reacting the way that she does. And the reason is because Ji-hoon isn't telling his family the truth. And finally, we've seen recently that he did tell his mom, like, I've been lying to her and I don't have enough money. And her response is, stop crying. Men don't cry. So I don't know. I think his mom is over him. And I would be so over Ji-hoon, and I would just be like, let's just go back to America. But I think you're right, Sam. I think she really does like Ji-hoon. I think she sees a future where he will help her and take care of her children and raise a family together. Now, I admire that about her. I think Devin's heart is in the right place. I think she just wants what's right for her children. Mm-hmm. And if moving to Korea is doing that,
because if Jinwoo can't come to America, then that's how she has to do it. But I don't know. I don't know if that relationship is right. I think it's toxic, but for the sake of child, what do you do?
Right. No, it's big time toxic. So we, like I mentioned, we talked about Happily Ever After with Liana, and we talked about Asuelu and Kalani and how Asuelu is a bit of a man child. To me, Jihoon is the man child of this season, this show. And just for me, not even like, listen, you can be immature if you want. That's fine. I'm still immature in many ways myself. But the problem for me lies in the lying. Like, lying about, oh, I have a stable job and I'm getting us money for when you move here. Withholding that information so that she moves there faster. And then throwing that bomb on her once she's there with her with their two kids and with her mom. Like, none of that is great. She's exhausted, clearly, for dealing with all this stuff. And then now you throw this on her, and now you're giving her an apartment that isn't up to snuff for what, like, you guys wanted. It's not well situated. It's not in a good location. Now she's not living there now. And then it's very clear that both his parents are also, like, on Devin's side now that they've heard the truth, especially in this last episode where they're sitting around the table and trying to use the translator egg thing to translate. Even the dad was like, oh, why is the money with your mom? That should have been going to Devin. Tell her that right now. And Jihoon's like, oh, well, I don't know if that'll work. It's like, well, doesn't matter, buddy. That's the truth. You got to give the truth. That's what you need to do. So for me, that's the biggest problem I have. Jihoon did come off as a lovable dummy his first season. So I want to see more of that naive, lovable dummy. But the more and more we're getting to know Jihoon, the more and more I feel just horrible for Devin. Especially, like you've mentioned, we know that she's in Korea during COVID with two young children. And that is just not a good time to be had by anybody involved. And the question here lies in, will Jihoon learn and will Jihoon grow? Because I've talked about Asuelu and I said, I do think that Asuelu is better than most of the douche people on the show, because Asuelu seemingly is learning for the first time and is going to do these things and grow from these things. Whereas some of the douche people we see, they're not going to grow. They're going to say they're going to grow and they're never going to do it. So,
right.
We'll see with time where Jihoon lies. I think Jihoon's parents are incredible. They might be my favorite parents from the show because
yes.
They're just always just smiling and happy and trying to see the positive. And my favorite is when Jihoon's dad was trying to speak English with Devin. I love that so much. And they do seem like a happy family that are just happy with what they have. But Jihoon, man, Jihoon needs a wake up call. Really. Right.
I think everything would be fine if he was just very upfront from the beginning.
Like, yes.
All the way before she even came to Korea and said, like, look, like, I am not working right now. I'm having trouble finding work, or I'm working on it. She wouldn't have came, yes, but you at least would still be talking to each other and in love with each other. Like, I just think he wasn't thinking about their child. He was thinking about how much he was in love with Devin and sacrificed their own financial stability and potentially relationship in order to have his romantic partner back. But with a child involved, you can't do that. It would be different if it was like anybody else who doesn't have a child and they're moving. Like, it'd be so much different because, like, it would be different if it was like Brittany and Issan, because like Brittany doesn't have a child, Issan doesn't have a child. Like, there isn't a lot to be lost. I mean, there is a lot to be lost, but it's not another person's life that could be involved here. But with that child, it's just so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, like, you need that. Sacrifices need to be made when there's a kid involved. And I think the wrong sacrifices were made and for the wrong reason. So,
yes.
Yeah, we'll see. It does look like Devin's mom is a very vocal and strong minded person. So I wouldn't be shocked if the continuing episodes into the season, she goes on about how Devin shouldn't stay there. And then at some point has a confrontation with Jihoon that I'm not going to be shocked about. I am curious to see where they go. I want to say I'm rooting for them, but my wish is that when we get to the tell-all, we learn that Jihoon has matured and is taking this more seriously than he has been. Then I'm very happy. I'm rooting for them. But otherwise, if that's not the case at the tell-all, then Devin needs to part ways, really.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that, like, the first season we saw the whole mentality of, like, making a baby is easy sort of thing. Now we're in the, oh, he has to grow up phase. And then hopefully we get, like, you know, good dad Ji-hoon by the end of the season, beginning of possibly a third season, because I would love to see them come back. I know from the internet and Instagram and Reddit and all those fabulous places that her and the kids are currently in Utah. They got stuck back here because South Korea is not letting visitors or anybody come back.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in America.
Yeah, they got out.
She doesn't know when they're going to come back, though, because the ban still hasn't been lifted. But there's, you know, not a lot of talk, but a lot of speculation about, you know, exactly why she had to come back to America in the first place. Is it because of the kids, or is it because of a crumbling relationship?
Well, Instagram, Devin's mom posted a screenshot of something that said, like, Devin and Ji-hoon divorced. And she went, this is not true. Like, who is saying this stuff? They are not breaking. They have not broken up. So apparently, as of like 4 days ago, they are still together, but the kids are just here in America now.
Yeah.
No, which is crazy. I don't. It's crazy to me.
If there's anything that's going to put life on hold, it's a pandemic. So I don't doubt that they're like, listen, beef aside, let's make sure we're safe during this.
Right.
Talk about it later. So,
right.
And I do think, if anything, gang, I think this isn't the last of them we're going to see. I think we're going to see them on another season.
Absolutely.
Because to go back to what you said, Sam, you said Paul and Karini and then Devin and Ji-hoon, which I completely agree with you from that regard. Very, very much fun TV. Very, very much good TV. So that is definitely a thing where this isn't the last of them we're going to see. This isn't a Brittany and Yazan where it's. Mm-hmm. I'm angered by their stupidity. Whereas here, right. It's like, I'm angered by their stupidity, but let me keep watching it. I need to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, please give us the you're going to make a pick and I'm going to be left with whoever's last to talk to start talking about. So where do you want to go?
I know this is so much pressure. I don't know where to go from here. I think this has my second favorite character on the show, so I'm going to talk. I call them characters because they are characters. I want to talk about Ari and Binyam.
Okay,
and
good choice. That's the right choice.
Yeah, the character that I'm talking about is Ari's mom. Who
you love the moms?
I do love them. I love the zany moms that come to the other country and just act like Karens and just walk around being like, "Why is this place like that?" Because you're not in America. Like,
you must have loved Debbie. You must.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, who doesn't love Debbie but hate her all in the same breath?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I think they're all ridiculous, but I love mess, and I love watching. I feel like who's the lady who cleans on Netflix? What's her name?
Marie Kondo.
Yeah, I love mess.
Yeah.
Like, I love mess. No, but Ari and Binyam. So Ari was a world traveler when she was young. She's always been a free spirit. She loved going out, doing adventurous things, traveling around the world. She's had international relationships before. She is experienced in this field. She knows what she is doing. Mm-hmm. However, this last one with Binyam has turned into a future pregnancy and baby on the way. So she has decided to have the grand idea that instead of having her child in America, that she will have her child with Binyam in Ethiopia. Her family is Jewish, and they are not too sure about this. Her mother is a nurse, and she is not sure about this. She has packed epidurals on the plane ride to Ethiopia. She is prepared and ready to go in and give this Ethiopian hospital all the medicine, because she is assuming that the hospital that her daughter Ari will be giving birth in will have nothing. And we've come to find out that the hospital is loaded, stocked with a bunch of medicine. There's a NICU there. But we are left with Ari and Binyam discussing how their relationship is going to be. She seems to be really excited about it all. She's not worried 1 minute about, oh yeah, I'm going to have this baby in Ethiopia, and I believe that the father should be there, and everything is going to be fine. Binyam has had American girlfriends before as well. He has been married to an American woman before. And we've seen in this last episode where Ari's mom was basically interrogating him. But again, a common theme, like Sam has pointed out, language barrier, that that Ari's mom is basically tearing into Binyam. And Binyam is like, I can't answer these questions because I don't understand the context of what she's talking about. Like, he can understand her English, but he can't understand her tone, which is another layered thing, which is really important, especially on this show that's about marital issues and babies. So that's where we're at right now with them. I think Ari is destined to have this child in Ethiopia. We've seen it in clips that the child will be born there. But what do y'all think? Do you think that they as a couple will work?
Go for it, Sam.
I don't know, because I feel like I'm going to call him baby because I love when they call him baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only refer to him as that. But I feel like I don't know baby, and he feels, the word I can think of is bland. Like, I feel like he doesn't have like a personality like most of the other people on the show do. Like, and even especially, you know, compared to Ari, his personality is really flat. I feel like we don't really know him, which is kind of, I can't judge whether or not they're going to, you know, stay together, if it's going to be a successful relationship. I mean, just seeing those kind of personalities together, she's definitely the driving force of this relationship. And I think they said like back in the first episode that she was the one who like hit on him first from across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I hope they stay together for the sake of the baby. Because she does seem super happy, except for like the 30 seconds she had a panic attack because he cut his dreads off in like the 4 months that she was back in America, which that's like a defining moment in any relationship. Get a major haircut, you know, grow a beard or shave a beard off, do something crazy and see if you still like the person.
Yes.
Because that's definitely a dividing line of like whether you really like that person or you just like how they look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it goes a long way. I can tell you this, Liana has still never seen me without a beard, and I'm too scared to let her see me without one. I am not trying to lose a relationship. And I'm genuinely it really is a test. I do agree that baby is a little bland, even though baby is this weird amalgamation. He's an Ethiopian dancer / fighter / singer, and there's a lot of personality that should be there. He's also a home renovator, or an attempter at home renovating. It is what it is. The home looked like he was trying, but my God, emphasis on trying. Mm-hmm. This couple is interesting to me because she is definitely a world traveler, because you can tell she's comfortable with her surroundings. She knows what she signed up for. She knows this is Ethiopia. I know what's good. But then when you have a nurse for a mom who not only is medically educated, but also, you know, likes things clean and likes this like a sterile environment, and then you're taking them to these houses that baby is attempting to pull together for them, obviously she's not going to be a fan of it. She's also mentioned she was annoyed. She was annoyed at how good the hospital was in Ethiopia, because she would have definitely tried to use that as an ultimatum to pull her back to the States. I think she's going to keep trying to do this. I think there's going to be a point where she's going to fight with baby and then serve the ultimatum. I think that's the story for this couple now, is when is the mom going to be like, all right, it's time to pull out the card. It's time to pull out the you're coming with me card and see if it works.
Right. Because we've already heard her say at the beginning of the season that she's going to go in and investigate. And we haven't seen her investigate much besides the hospital. But again, last episode, it was alluded to, like, where he dances, his dance partner is his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And her mom is asking him like, oh, what about your past girlfriends? Why didn't it work? And he's like not saying why. Mm-hmm. So I think that Ari's mom is about to go full investigative, get a private investigator in Ethiopia before this baby is born, to see if baby is who he's saying that he really is. I don't know. Again, this is why she's one of my favorite characters on the show, because her storyline is interlocked with Ari and babies. Like, Ari's mom has as much of an impact on their relationship as Ari and baby does. So Baby, to me, I agree with y'all. He is bland, but we also don't know his story yet. And I think that's what's going to be the reason that their relationship does or doesn't work. We don't know a lot about Baby because his story is about to unfold. And that's going to be the main factor of why Ari's mom doesn't want her to be with him in Ethiopia.
Yeah, I need at the tell-all, I need there to be a song debuting, which is Britney featuring Baby, and we've got like the 90 Day the Other Way track or something. I need that crossover. I've been a fan of the awful music that comes out of 90 Day with Soulja Boy had his music.
Yes. For
Lisa. And then who can ever forget the Tariq proposal song, which was my favorite.
Oh my gosh, yes, I almost forgot about that.
That's my favorite one. That's so good. And
just
the
fame whoring that happens on 90 Day Fiancé is just amazing. And like Soulja Boy, like I'll give him some credit. Like he seems actually somewhat famous in, I believe, Nigeria, right? Like he at least seems.
He's local talent. You got to
He is local talent. But Baby is nothing. Like, he, again, as you said, he's a rapper and a singer and a fighter and a home improver. And he's like, reminds me of Debbie from Survivor. Like he has a million different jobs and changes what he does every episode. I'm looking forward to seeing what his story actually is, because I am interested to know, like, why is it keep being brought up about his American girlfriends? There has to be something more to this.
Definitely. Either there's like a hidden element to it, or he's spoken to her recently, something. There's something that's going to come up from it. I'm keen to see it. Also, one of my favorite things as a non-American is when every time a American, either the American partner themselves or the extended family, is like, they're coming here for a green card. That's definitely what's happening. Every time. There's at least
always. They always jump to it. They always are like, so like, if you love my daughter, you're just using her for a green card, right? And they're like, no. They're like, are you sure? But like, why wouldn't you want to live in America? Like, I love my country. They're like, but a green card.
But you guys don't have a Walmart, so I know you're trying to come to America.
Right. Like, you don't have a McDonald's in every corner. You want to use my daughter to come to America. You are ridiculous. Like,
Okay, and then this leaves us with the perfect segue to go to the last couple. I don't know much about them couple because they were introduced later, and this might be the quickest of the six that we're going to talk about. But it's Tim and Melissa, and Liana made sure to tell me that her one request, because she wasn't going to get to talk about this, is to call him Cheese Stick. So yes. Cheese Stick and Melissa is what we're going to go with. So the story with Cheese Stick and Melissa is that Cheese Stick and Melissa met. She is Colombian and they were dating here. And then she moved back to Colombia, and Cheese Stick couldn't handle the toughness of a long distance relationship and has an affair with a coworker and cheats on her and then fesses up. Which we found out in this last episode that he didn't fess up, but he got caught on social media, apparently. That's how Melissa found out about this. Drama alert. So then now Cheese Stick is moving to Colombia as a sign of good faith, as a sign of, hey, I'm really sorry. I want to be with you. Let me prove it by putting the burden of moving on me. I'm willing to do that. And his friends did not like that he's doing this. His friends took her side firmly because they knew her and they knew how amazing she is. So Tim, aka Cheese Stick, so far I don't have much of an impression on him. I have a feeling I'm not gonna like him. He kind of was giving me Colty vibes, but I don't know, it's not even that. His voice reminds me of someone and I can't put my finger on who. It is very unique. Daniel, what's your thoughts on Cheese Stick and Melissa here?
The first thing I always think about when I hear Cheese Stick is when, because I love watching Pillow Talk too. Mm-hmm. And Robert said after he called himself Cheese Stick, he's like, I wonder if they called him Cheese Stick in prison. Oh, and that wasn't just an actual nickname. And every time Tim comes up on my screen now, I always just think about the guys in prison calling Tim Cheese Stick. I don't know how to feel about Tim, and I don't really know how to feel. I mean, I like Melissa.
I think that she has a great head on her shoulders. And I think all the warning signs that Cheese Stick has shown her is right. And I do think, though, that if you are moving to another country, no matter if you're moving to America or the other way around, mm-hmm. you are showing some sort of compassion and love for the other person. So, like, for him to uproot and go live in Colombia is a huge step regardless. And so, yes, he did cheat. And it is going to take time for her to heal. But good I'm job. Sure that she's already, like, gone through a lot of the healing process. Because if she didn't want him to move to Colombia, I'm sure at some point she would have been like, hey, maybe you should have moved here because I might not want to be with you. You know, like, right. I don't know why, like, unless he literally is like, I'm moving there and she's going to either love me or I'm going to just live in Colombia. Like, that's not the case here, though. Like, she picked him up from the airport and that her family knows that he was coming. Like, it's no secret. It's not like a Cement and Jenny situation.
Yeah.
Like, this is just really different. I think we're going to find out more about Cheese Stick's infidelities and maybe another woman will come forward and say that he cheated on Melissa with her during their relationship. Yeah. But I think this one's probably before it was Kenny and Armando, but I actually think this is the most confident. I think they're going to work out.
Yeah. I think before I pass it back over to Sam, I think I've definitely been butchering her name. It's not Melissa. It's definitely some, like, it's Melissa, closer to Melissa.
Yeah, I think so, it's yeah, Melissa. Yeah. Or yeah. Melissa. Yeah.
So that's a my bad gang. But Sam, what are your thoughts about Tim Cheese Stick and Melissa here?
So the only good part of the storyline is the cat.
Yes.
The nickname of the cat. Peppy. Listen, give me a show of just the cat Peppy, you know, and Cheese Stick walking around like a cat in the backyard. Listen, that's all I need in life. But this whole storyline is giving me almost like a Corey and Evelyn vibe.
Yes.
And the way yeah. that, like, Melissa almost doesn't care that, you know, Tim's moving across the world to be with her sort of thing. Like, mm-hmm. in the episode that just aired, you know, the one thing she was the most excited about was seeing the cat, which, you know, same. But, you know, that's the kind of the vibe I got. Just like how Evelyn didn't really care that Corey was moving either and still doesn't care to this day. I don't think the storyline goes that deep. I think it's literally just, oh, no, he cheated. The mom doesn't like the parents don't like him. Oh, no. And that's it. They're going to yeah. be the couple we see once every two episodes. Their segment's only like 10 minutes because it's not that interesting.
Yeah,
it's not. There's not much content here.
There really isn't. And I do think that it's very clear, though. The one peak in interest for me was now that he's arrived. There's two things that I think are going to go wrong. Clearly, like we talked about just now, how she's definitely had some time and she's gotten over it enough. Otherwise, why would she be okay with him moving here? I think that seeing him in person has reopened some of those wounds a little bit. And we saw that when she started talking about it again. So I think that we're going to see that come back. She also made a comment about how he's put on weight and looks a little bit different than what he used to be, and she notices it and she can't not speak on it. I do think that's going to be something she's going to bring up as well to him at some point. And the interesting thing for me is, let's see how long before Tim snaps, because I do think that Tim right now is rolling with the punches. He knows he's in the wrong. He knows he has to make up for it, and he's doing everything he can to go towards making up for it. But do I think that Tim is well adjusted enough to not lash out once he gets a lot of once he keeps getting hit? No, I think at some point he's going to freak out on her. So we'll see what that looks like and we'll see what happens. But I do agree, this is the dullest or most boring of the storylines for me out of the six. There's a reason why we didn't see them right out the beginning, and there's a reason why they don't get much airtime. Even though they took airtime away from Jenny and Sumit this week, it was needed, but maybe that means next week we don't see them, so that's okay. So do we have any last comments on anything with regards to the show?
Listen, I think this season, again, just like every other season, this season has absolutely been delivering. I mean, again, besides Tim and Melissa, I think every couple is just so complex. Mm. And the thing that I love the most about 90 Day Fiancé is that although their lives are messy,
you can still identify things about your own life and your own experiences that they are going through. Like for me, like I'm someone who like I was in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend before we ended up moving in together. And I understand like how hard it is that when you do move in together after you're so good for so long distance that when you finally move in together, you're like, oh, is this going to work? How is this working? There's little things about them that you didn't know existed until you moved in together. And I want to like watch these couples and think like, oh my God, like, why are they acting that this way? Like with Kenny and Armando, like Kenny freaking out about the food and being finicky about how clean it was. So, like, that's ridiculous. But I also understand like when you finally live with your partner for the first time and you do things as a couple and you're not long distance anymore, like when you're long distance and you are together and you go get lunch, you really value the time. You don't care about the little things. But now that barrier is down, you kind of see the cracks forming. And I almost am like, oh, I want to give them a break because I know I acted that way for a little bit and maybe they'll just work it out. But I'm also like, I knew I was ridiculous then. So I can call Kenny out and say, you're being ridiculous. Just love the fact that you're with Armando. So I don't know. That's why I love the show so much. It's so high risk and it's so messy, but anybody can relate to what they're going through, at least on some surface level.
Yeah. No, as someone who has also come in from a long distance relationship to now live with the person, there's definitely stuff during the adjustment period that you look back on, you're like, oh, this is ridiculous for me to have had like such strong feelings about such dumb stuff. But it's just, this is all very intriguing to me. I am very much interested to see how all these storylines go. I very much want to find out which one of these couples stay together. Who are we going to see once more? My candidate from these six, I'm not going to mention the ones we've seen already. From the new people, I think if we saw a couple again, I would maybe say I would want it to be Kenny and Armando, but it very much, if Brittany and Yazan somehow continue their hot mess, it could be them. If Baby becomes more interesting, it might be Baby, but we will see. Sam, what are your parting thoughts on the season before we get out of here?
This is a season full of heavy hitters, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I typically don't have this many people that I have a vested interest in, and I actually care about these people, which is weird because they're just people on TV, but I care about them. And, you know, although their lives are messy and crazy, like, I want Ari to have the baby and be happy. I want Cheese Stick to maybe be happy. I don't know. I mostly want the cat to be happy. I want Jenny and Submit to be happy and actually get married and like that she stays there. I don't know. It's just a really good season. And if you're listening to this and you somehow haven't watched the first 9 episodes, I really encourage you to go back and watch it because it really is worth it this season.
Absolutely.
That's a very positive way for us to put a cap onto this amazing recap of The Other Way. Thank you so much to both of you for being here. Sam, do you have anything you want to plug? Where can people find you? Anything like that?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter. It's Sam_shenanigan. Shenanigan. I don't know. It's one of those. Either shenanigan, singular or plural. I made it just to follow, you know, all the rehab people, and my Twitter is only followed by Will from America. So please follow me.
Sam_shenanigan. Are you Hobo Sam?
No, nope.
Okay, then it's not shenanigan with no S at the end. Oh, but also doesn't have an underscore. We will find you. We will find you. RKP folks, we got you. We will track you down. and if I find you before this goes up, I'll make sure to put it in the show notes so that they can definitely click on you and find you.
Okay, cool.
And Daniel, what about you? Where can people find you? What do you
want? Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Dan Jean Ken. Dan and then Jean like blue jeans and then Ken, K-E-N. So that's where you can find me. I tweet about reality TV, mainly about 90 Day Fiancé and the new season of Big Brother that's going to come up here soon. So super excited about all the new reality TV that we're about to get after 4 months of sitting at home watching TV and doing nothing. So very excited for the future of reality TV to come.
We've been patiently waiting for this moment, and now we're getting everything at the same time.
Yes.
It's a blessed time to be. You can find me on all major social media platforms at Puyaism, twitch.tv/Puyaism. I will be talking a lot about Big Brother moving forward. And now that we have the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up officially underway, I will be back every week to talk about both Happily Ever After and The Other Way and any internet, social media, Reddit stuff that pop up and any other little pillow talks that happen. This is going to be a one-stop shop for all the things, but we couldn't have got it off the ground if not for the two catch-up podcasts we just did this week. And to you, Sam, and to you, Daniel, thank you so much for joining me on this one. It helped immensely. You kept me sane during this. And I think I've learned a lot about what we enjoy from this crazy show of ours. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. With that being said, I hope you all had a good time listening to this. If you have a good day, take care. And we'll see you on your next trip on the Hot Mess Express. That is 90 Day Fiancé next week. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.